doing the pigeon, dancing a little smidgen of the kind of ballet sweeps me away, doing the pigeon, doing the pigeon.
All righty, that's a good lead-in for today's message that I'm entitling Pigeon Religion. Pigeon Religion. Now, and it's going to be a series. This is part one of I don't know how many different parts, but it's a very critical aspect of our Christian life. So if you have your Bibles with you, would you mind opening them with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 29, please? Proverbs chapter 29. And you'll understand the pigeon religion. I think you guys like it by the laughters I get. Proverbs 29. We're going to read one verse of scripture. Very well-known verse of scripture in the Bible. And often quoted because it's just so true and pertinent to all of our lives. So Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. I'm reading out of the New King James Version, which reads, "Where there is no revelation," the King James Version uses the word vision. Okay? "Where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law." Okay, what does it mean there, where there is no vision? That's referring to a revelation from God to us for our lives, okay? A revelation from God to us for or about our lives. Amen? How many of y'all believe that we all need vision from God for our individual lives? Amen? Amen? We all have to have vision. Okay, now why did I entitle this message or this series of messages Pigeon Religion? Would you mind showing the video again, Brother John Bob, if you're able to? If not, that's okay. I want you to notice how a pigeon walks.
Doing the pigeon.
That's slow.
Doing the
okay, that's pigeon. Good. You know why the pigeon walks like that? When he cocks his head back, and then he cocks his head forward, then he takes a step, then cocks his head back, cocks his head forward, and then takes a step. Because every time before a pigeon takes a step, he cocks his head back to focus on the step he's about to take. Do you know that? That's why the pigeons kind of walk funny with their head going cleck, 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 cleck. Because they clear back and then focus and then take a step. Clear back and then focus and then take a step. That's why I'm calling this series Pigeon Religion. I think that, you know, God gives us creation and draws many lessons in Scripture from creation. And I think that we would be well advised to pay attention to why the pigeon moves the way it does. Now, can you and I agree that if we had that focus about our lives, that focus on God and his purpose and his vision for our lives, how many of us would agree in the presence of God and in his grace that we would have avoided a lot of mistakes and a lot of messes in our lives?
Amen.
Amen? If we had that focus of a pigeon, that we focused on God, we focused on his vision every step we took, we focused on God, we focused on his vision for our lives, we would avoid a whole mess of mistakes. I can say amen to that.
Amen.
Without a vision, that is God's redemptive revelation of himself to us, the people cast off restraint. What kind of restraint do the people cast off? They cast off moral restraint. Well, what's the use? Why should I be living for a God whom I don't know, people say, then I'm going to do my own thing. You know, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That is the voice of a person without God's vision in their lives. We all need vision. We all need pigeon religion in our lives. We need that focus. Why is God's redemptive revelation of himself to us in our lives important? Because it keeps us, and in the Hebrew it says it keeps us in our lane. Have you ever been driving on a freeway, on the highway, and your hands, both hands are on the wheel, 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock, you're looking at where you're driving, and some
idiot.
Thank you, Ms. Connie. Some idiot pulls in front of you. They're not staying in their lane. Either they're texting or they're talking on their phone, cell phone, or they're just not paying attention, and they come over here. And you're just like, are you kidding me? See, that's how messes in life happen. I'm just using that as an illustration. When another person does not stay in their lane and they come and boom, hit your life. Even though you're in your lane, they're not in their lane. So that's what vision does. Why is it that a lot of famous people, you hear about them, you hear, you know, that they overdosed on drugs. Why is it that they go from marriage to marriage to marriage to marriage? Why is it that they have illicit affair after illicit affair after illicit affair? Why is it that you hear them getting arrested for drug trafficking? Because they have no God-given vision in their life. No one has spoken the vision of God to them about their life. Can I get a witness, please? So what's the consequence? They cast off restraint. Right? Now, can we be honest in the presence of God? How many of us have ever, in our relationship with God, and I'm saying this under a canopy of God's grace here in the family of God, how many of us have made decisions contrary to God's vision in our lives? How many of us have paid for some of those decisions? I'm raising my hand because I'm included. You have, maybe?
I have.
Okay. I would venture to say we all have made decisions that were not God-honoring, even though we knew God, even though we loved God, we were not serving God the way we should have. Amen? Right? And so vision is critical to every one of our lives. It keeps us in our lane. Now, let's talk about several different lives, okay? Or you know, we're talking about people. Let's talk, first of all, people who have no vision. Number one, if you're taking notes, what about no vision? I'm going to give you several points. This is point number one. Having no vision. People who have no vision. Well, we're kind of hinting at that already. People, another translation in Proverbs 29:18 says they will run their lives like wild horses. That's pretty picturesque, isn't it? I don't want to run my life like a wild horse. I don't, you know, I caught up with a friend, a gym friend, on Instagram. They were single. They had one child from a previous marriage. They're not married now, but they have a second child. And I'm thinking, okay. And I asked this person, I said, I didn't know you had a second child. I'm not judging this person, not judging her. I was just surprised that some young person didn't have vision for their lives, did not have vision for their lives to where they kind of got a little off track. Do you see the importance of vision? When someone does not have vision, it's so easy to get off track from the way of the Lord. How many of us know that God has a vision for every one of us? Amen. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans to give you a hope and a future. They are good plans. They are not evil plans. That's for every single one of our lives. God has a hope for you. God has a future for you. Listen, we don't have to throw our hands in the air and say, you know, I have a very bleak future. Never, because as believers, we have a future in Him. Hope and a future. But some people don't have the vision to see that hope or future. So that's number one, people with no vision. Let's talk about people with the wrong vision, number two. How many of us know that we can get caught up in chasing dreams that are not God-honoring? Right? You know, I had a good friend of mine, and believer, I led him to the Lord. We were kind of the best of friends in middle school. So when I gave my life to Christ, I began to talk to him, and it made sense to him, and he gave his life to the Lord. But after college, you know, we both went to ORU together. But after college, he was a business major, more power to him. His dream was to become a millionaire. And let me say here, I'm going to interject a parenthetical thought. There's nothing wrong with making money so long as that is not your first priority. Right? Because the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul the Apostle said by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that the person that chases money, the person that would want to be rich, pierces their souls through with many sorrows. And that's what happened to this guy. Lost many things in his life. So now he's living pretty modestly. I think he's revamped his vision for his life. He had the wrong vision. For him, priority number one was to make millions. Wrong vision. Wrong vision. Amen? Anything that does not accord with God's plan or God's word that speaks to us is a wrong vision. Right? Well, I'm going to be top dog. I'm going to tell people what's going to be and how it's going to go. And, you know, that's a wrong vision. That's not a God-honoring vision, right? They probably went behind the ears, right, Lyle? They don't know what life's about. So that's a wrong vision. Let's go to number three, a stale vision. Ooh, can we spend a little time on that? How many of us who have loved God, served God, try to live our best for the Lord, to honor him, to glorify him, did the vision of God ever grow stale in our lives? I can raise a hand to that. It's like you lose sight. Anybody ever experience a spiritual famine in your life? You don't feel the presence of the Lord. He seems like he's distant, millions of miles away. Your prayers don't seem to go far beyond the ceiling. They bounce off the ceiling back to you. Anybody ever been there? Mm-hmm. You try to love your neighbor, but you find yourself getting more easily irritated at some of their quirks. Gosh. And you feel like you're dry, there's no water in your spiritual well, and you're thinking, and every time, you know, like the old pumps that they had, how many of y'all remember the old pumps, water pumps? You have to pump it, and instead of, you know, I used to golf with a friend when we lived in Kansas, there was this little golf course that had gravel greens. That'll tell you the kind of course it was. It was like a dead old prairie. And at the end of the course, they had this little water pump to drink water. Sometimes you would pump it, and all that would come out was dust. How many of us would be honest enough to admit that our spiritual lives resembled that water pump? Instead of water flowing out, a plume of dust, a stale vision. We know what we should be doing. Come on, somebody. But we know we're not doing it. And we have, if we can be honest enough, we have not the desire we once had to do what we should be doing. Can I get a witness in the house, please? Amen? And you're thinking, gosh, why am I struggling? Why is life, the Christian life, so hard? Why is trying to do right so hard? And you're finding that the internal battles within you are more real than God at the time. Am I speaking to anybody? Yeah. It's gotten really quiet. And it seems like the enemy starts sending temptation after temptation. And the enemy seems more real and his fiery darts seem more real than the Lord does. Stale vision. It happens. How many of you know that happens to any believer? So what do we do? You know what we do, church family? We remain faithful. With our hand to the plow, we ask for God's grace, whether we feel our prayers are being answered or not, whether we feel the presence of God or not, whether we feel, whether the word of God jumps out at us as it once did or not, we remain faithful to the Lord. Amen? Do not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Galatians chapter 6. You shall reap if you faint not. So we remain faithful with our hands to the plow when we're experiencing a stale vision. Right? So no vision, wrong vision, stale vision. It's amazing the process that we go through if we don't have that one propelling factor in our lives. Now, go with me to the book of James, chapter 3, please. I want to use an example that James used. Now, James uses this example, this analogy about the human tongue in the context of James, chapter 3. But I want to use this same analogy in a different context. I'm not adding to or taking away from the Word of God, but I want to, this example fits vision quite well. James chapter 3, verse 4. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. I mean, that's a great illustration. Great illustration to talk about the tongue, but also a great illustration to talk about vision. Now, what happens to boats that lose their navigation system at sea? They go wild, right? They're at the mercy of the waves because they're not following the charted course that the pilot set out. The navigation system in ships is the same as the navigation system in planes. And that to us, that navigation system, to us, it's called vision. The vision of God. The vision of God. What is God's vision for my life? Now, can we break it down and become more specific about that? You know, some of us, I would encourage this church family that we would break down what we believe God is calling us to do. Number one, you don't have to be in ministry for you to be called by God. The scripture that Brother Scott shared, it says we're all saved and we're all called with a purpose. Right? If you're saved, you're called. You can't be saved and not called. You're saved and called with a purpose. That's every single one of us in here. Right? But it can't be, we can't have no vision because we have purpose. We can't have the wrong vision because we have a godly calling. We can't have a stale vision and seek to follow the Lord with a stale vision. We need fresh fire from above to propel and consume us and give us the passion and desire to pursue that. Okay, so let's break it down into specifics. Some of us think, well, what difference can I make? Well, Miss Karen, I think of you, and God bless you for your desire to impact your grandson. That's a vision. That is a godly vision. And I'm sure it's not easy, is it? You know, sometimes, church family, the visions that we have that God has entrusted to us, they are the hardest thing that we've ever done. But the impact on the other side that you're making, you might not think you're making an impact on somebody else's life. Listen, the Lord knows. The Lord sees you. The Lord sees your tears. The Lord hears your cries. And he's going to reward your faithfulness. Right? Vision. We want our lives to count as something. For something greater than ourselves. What if it is to be a blessing to my children, to be a blessing to my grandchildren? What if my vision is to help my fiance fund all of our trips together, even though she has thousands of dollars in her savings account? I know, right? I think I got myself in trouble. Let's get back to the pigeons. Yeah. Pigeon religion, Lyle. So we have to be, let's talk about number four. Number one was what? No vision. Number two was wrong vision. Number three was stale vision. Number four, vague vision. Vague vision. That's what we're talking about now. And that is, we got to break it down specifically. What do I want? What do I feel the Lord calling me to? Some of us might feel like, Joe, I don't have any specifics. I don't have a grandson. I don't have a lost this or that. You know, church family, if you have children that are not in relationship with God, make it your vision to reach out. Even if all you can do, if they're tuning you out, they're not talking to you, you have the power of prayer at your disposal. Amen. You can lift their names up before the Lord. You can intercede on their behalf and expect the Lord somehow, some way, to reach your kids through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Amen. Make that your vision. Make it your vision to fund works for the kingdom of God. I appreciate your vision, Miss. That's a vision. We want to live beyond ourselves, right, church family? We want to live beyond what we can do. We want to live for a cause greater. You know what Jesus told Pilate in John chapter 19? He said, "For this cause, I was born." Jesus said, he told Pilate, "For this cause, what you're about to do to me now, right now, this is my cause, and this is why I was born." Woo! Yeah. Jesus had a clear vision of what God had sent him into the world to do, didn't he? Yep. He said, "For this cause, I was born." So if I was to ask you the same question, we're going to take this from the vague to the specific. What is your cause for living? What if our vision for our lives is for us to grow more and more, it is, into the likeness of Jesus Christ? Can we go down that path? And stop making excuses for our quirks, stop making excuses for our flaws, and stop making excuses for our shortcomings. Ow! What if we take that call seriously? What if we say, I want to be more Christ-like this year than I was last year? How do I measure that? Well, let's see. Does temptation bother me as much? I'm not saying temptation won't ever stop bothering you, or stop having a pull on you as long as you're alive with a sinful nature, and we all have it. Does temptation bother you as much? Are you finding yourself to be just a little more above the pettiness of life? That's a good point. Ow. You don't feel the need to return insult for insult. You find yourself having a greater heart of compassion for others. Instead of judging a person, you put yourself in their shoes and you say, ouch, that was rough. I'll pray for them. Instead of being heavy-handed, you find yourself being more gentle. Instead of being self-centered, you find yourself thinking of others more. You feel led to give to a certain cause. Would you agree with me that that's more Christ-like, church family? That is more Christ-like in it. So we're taking it from the vague to the specific. What is my cause? What was I born for? Only you can answer that. But make sure it is a number five, God vision. God honoring, God exalting, God glorifying, and Jesus' work being accomplished within the people of your realm of influence. Amen? Let's pray. Gracious Lord, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for, Lord, helping us to get a clear view, clear focus on our vision. Your vision for our lives. Father, help us to grow. Help us to stretch. Help us to have a clear focus, to have a pigeon religion in our lives. That when we, before we take steps, we consult with your vision, Lord. We consult with your vision that keeps us on track in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you. God bless you. Hope to see some of you tonight at 6:00.